Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Neil Martin's with me this morning, but he will be. Are you in good form, my friend, this morning?
I'm in the finest of fettle, Marty.
That's my friend. It's lovely to see you. Lovely to see you, and looking as well as ever. You're slimming, I see.
Well, I could get slimmer.
The exercise regime is working a treat. You're looking great. I have a bill to pay, and then I shall return.
Okay.
Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance, giving you peace of mind for the future.
Hello, I'm Caoimhe de Barra from Throcra, urging you to return your Throcra Box donation. For families in Malawi whose lives have been devastated by climate change, your support means access to clean, safe water and the tools they need to cope with the ongoing cycle of floods and drought. Your help can make all the difference, because it's not just a box. It's a lifeline. Please visit Throcra.org or call 1-800-408-408. Throcra, together for a just world.
At Irish Life, we've been helping people make smart investments for over 80 years. For actual trusted advice for your money, search Irish Life or contact your financial broker or advisor. A better life with Irish Life. Irish Life Assurance PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Irish Life Financial Services Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Irish Life Financial Services is tied to Irish Life Assurance for life and pension products.
Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM, where life sounds better.
Now, I'm all right now. I mentioned that he might bring his pipes. He didn't bring the pipes. But he brought something else. He brought a cello, which is absolutely stunning. Neil Martin with me. Neil, good morning, my friend.
How are you, Marty?
I'm awful good. It's lovely to see you.
Well.
And I mean it. You're looking great. You're looking like a man who's been training on the cross trainer and a whole bit.
No, nothing that extreme, believe me. I'm very, very busy spinning a lot of plates as ever.
Isn't it wonderful?
And all great plates to be spinning. I'm loving every one of them.
By all accounts, you are up to your eyes. Now, I know you're with Music Network and we want to talk about that because that's coming away. But a little birdie tells me they're making a documentary.
Yes, yeah, indeed. TG Cahir and BBC are making a 75-minute feature doc.
Right.
On me.
Are they following you around all the time?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. Some filming has happened, more will be coming up, and they'll do stuff with the West Ocean String Quartet, with guests, with various things, with the concert.
That's lovely.
They've interviewed me in my mother, my late mother's house, and they've talked to my family. And my kids will play, and there'll be various other contributions from people and all of that.
Are you delighted?
I am indeed. It's a blast. And it's good enough time to kind of reflect over what you've done and what you're planning to do at this kind of stage of the life.
It's interesting because people will get a perspective of the things that you do and how it works. And, you know, if you think about, like, there's lots of string quartets, there's lots of whatever, but here you are, and it'll pinpoint that and give that an extra profile, which would be quite lovely too, you see.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, when you do look back, I think I've been very lucky to have done so many things and to have collaborated with so many people over my life that... Yeah, it is fascinating, and I've made a list out that I want to include in the doc of people with whom I've collaborated. Obviously, we can't have everybody in the programme, but it's quite a long list, really, of people whose names, at least, I want to get in, who have been a major influence in my life.
And have you been able to get a few of them already?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Stephen Ray, for example, will feature in the doc.
I like Stephen Ray. Of course, he's a Malahide man now.
He is indeed up Donabate.
Donabate, Malahide. Yes, we call it. We can see him from Malahide.
Yeah,
we can see the house.
Yeah. And like he and I have been collaborating since the late 1980s.
Yes.
So, you know, and we've done lots of stuff in theatre and two-handers where he would read and I would play. We've done Heaney. We've done lots of stuff together. Yeah. Lots of collaborations. So.
He is such a fine actor.
He's an outstanding... I went twice to see Crap's last tape in the project there, and it was an absolute masterclass in artistry. It was outstanding.
He is something else. I like him very much as a person, too.
Yeah.
We've had him in a few times over the years, he's just a good guy. So you've got Stephen. And again, trying to find and to make sure you have room, because I know this, in television, they'll say, we only have so much time.
Uh-huh.
And you're thinking, well, hang on, if you're going to show a bit of a concert, and me walking into the mammy's house, and walking out, that all takes away from the other bits that you want to get in.
Yes, yeah.
Have you control over it yourself?
Well, I know the director, Damien McCann. We've collaborated.
Have you any secrets on the director? Because that's always a good one.
No, but I could concoct a few.
That's the boy.
I know his father-in-law extremely well.
Oh, then you'll have love.
Yeah, I'll get the dirt.
If you have that relationship with someone who's involved at that level, it's great because they get you and you get them.
Yes.
And I think that's very important.
Yeah. And we have a very open and a good, frank relationship where he says, is there any area you don't want to talk about? And I said, no. And if we hit upon something that I'll just say to you when we're turning over, no, let's not. Go there.
Good for you.
But basically, it's an open thing. And I'm very keen that my kids take part in this as well, because they're all, you know, my eldest is coming 32 and my youngest is 22, three girls and a boy. So it's just very important they be there. And obviously, Siobhan, their mother. And, you know, it's a family. I see it very much as a family thing.
I think you're right. And I think it makes a huge difference when everybody has that moment to contribute and be a part of it.
Yeah.
It is going to stand as a record as time goes on. Let's not forget that, too. I think that's very important. We want to talk about your music network and what you're doing there. And you brought the instrument, which is fantastic. Well, would you mind if I played a little of Manana Heron? Do you mind?
No, not at all.
So this is to give you time, as if it's to give him time to tune up. Manana Heron, how stunning. Shauna Reeder, of course, and I have Neil Martin with me. That's just gorgeous. It's still gorgeous.
It's the most beautiful, perfectly constructed air.
Gorgeous.
It really is.
And you still obviously get great pleasure from playing. But then you see, you latch on, you go off in all sorts of directions. You're lucky, which is very lucky, I suppose, in many ways, that you can do that. And that you're not constricted.
Yeah, well, I put my parents' record collection. I've often said this, that they had such a fantastic collection. We had Ray Cooter with the Beatles. We had Sean O'Rada. We had Kjoltari Cullen. We had a Louis Armstrong Hot 5 original 33 RPM, Bakelite discs. There was a huge film soundtrack, such a broad cross-section of music.
Yes.
And I'm in no doubt that that's kind of what has brought me into this world of,
for sure,
of operating between
you genres. Absorb it all, and that's how you've able, I suspect, how you've been able to happily, because this is important, happily go from one type of music to another. That doesn't bother you. You're not.
No. I know a little or whatever one knows about different genres, so it's comfortable to hop from one to the other.
Yeah. Listen, you were tuning up there during Manana Heron with the cello. What are you going to play for us? What have you got?
Well, I thought I would play an air that we'll play in our IAM on the 11th,
yes.
An air called, well, in Ireland we called it Limerick's Lamentation. And the words, it's a song as well called Lough Aber No More. And the poem was written by a Scottish poet called Alan Ramsay about 1720, in which he talked about the futility and the pain and the loss of war. And that poem could have been written last week.
Yes.
You know, I'm
yes.
not sure how much we've learnt as humans.
Really. It's an awful shock, isn't it, to the system when you look at it.
It's the most beautiful. And Lough Aber is a beautiful place in the outer western highlands of Scotland. And the poet in talks about going to war and leaving his genie, his love.
His love.
And in the last stanza he talks, if he's lucky enough to be victorious in war, he'll come back to Lough Aber and leave Lough Aber and his genie no more.
Isn't that
beautiful? So I thought I would play that.
Good man. Well, that's sorry. What did you say it was called
And we call it here Limerick's Lamentation.
Limerick's Lamentation is what it's called. Neil Martin.
This is the melody.
And this is live, lads. So very lucky. Very lucky. Lived that, didn't you, when you played it? You kind of immersed yourself in it.
Yeah.
You have to.
You do.
Yeah.
I can only talk from my point of view, but I have to live in the middle of the piece of music, and I have to think of the lyric, and I have to think of the intention of the...
And the emotion.
The emotion of it, very
much. That's
right,
much and just yeah. you and the instrument
yeah.
letting that emotion out.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story.
Yes, it's a beautiful poem and a great song and a great yeah. air. So I'm not sure whether the air started in Ireland, emanated from Ireland,
sure.
and went to Scotland or the other way about, but that kind of doesn't matter.
But the content of the work is so, as you say, so right for now.
Mm-hmm.
Like day after day we go through the papers, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking. Day after day and sometimes you think, am I going to run out of things to say, because it is so bad.
Yes.
So sad
yeah.
and so horrible.
There's very rarely anything happy in the news.
Oh, Lord above me. But you keep yourself upbeat. You're an upbeat fella.
I am.
And I think that that's also part of the trick. Talk to me about Music for Galway.
Wonderful project.
Yes.
The Songs of the Trees. So, Music for Galway have a festival, Chillissimo. That celebrates the cello.
Yes.
And Finian Collins is the artistic director and Anna Lardy the producer, and they brought myself and an actor called Little John Nee together. I know of Little John, but I'd never met him.
Yeah.
And they wanted us to create a school for, to create a piece for upper primary school kids. So kids, I guess, 8, 9, 10 years of age. And really, it's called The Songs of the Trees, and it's the story of the cello, and specifically this cello, and all the different woods, where they've come from in the world. And Little John plays the part of a luthier, a cello maker.
Yeah.
And I play the cellist, and we talk a little, and I play some. And it's the most wonderful, liberating, beautiful experience. Mark McLaughlin is directing, and the three of us are creating. We're devising this show together.
And is it put together as if you're in the workshop? Is it?
Yes, exactly.
Ah, lovely.
In the workshop.
Yeah, and you say specifically this cello.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about this cello?
And as I say in the thing, my cello was made in 1907, and the wood could be maybe upwards of 100 years old before that. So already we're going back in this instrument 200 years from now.
Sure.
The wood probably came from Bosnia, because a lot of the great instrument makers, including Stradivarius and Guarneri and Amati, had wood brought down, because the density of the wood, the way it seasoned, the way it aged, worked very well for them. So, and then the history of the instrument, who owned it after, after it was built and what happened to it, and I tell something of that in the show as well.
How long have you got it?
I got this in 1987, and I bought it from a cellist in the Liverpool Philharmonic.
Isn't that funny?
And it was built by an instrument maker called William Thomas Atkinson, who, towards the end of his life, he had some mental issues. He was helping his brother-in-law build a church in Tottenham in London, and some of the wall fell on him, on the instrument maker, on William, and he had to have his leg amputated. And he went odd, as they say, after that. Oh, and he destroyed a lot of instruments that he wasn't happy with.
Good Lord.
And he wouldn't tell anybody the secret of his varnish. But this is the first cello he ever made. And we know that, and I think there are only two in existence as far as I know.
Right, yeah.
And when you look up inside the cello through the F hole, there's a big one in pencil on the shoulders, and that's a maker's indication. That's how they marked
that was his work.
Yeah, so this is his first.
And does that get its own seat on a plane?
It most certainly does.
I have wondered about that.
Oh, yeah. There's no way that would go into the hold, apart from the rough baggage handling. It's 35 degrees below there. Wood won't like that. It'll wreck it, completely wreck it. So, no, that's the deal. Two seats on the plane, please. And even once or twice when you go through the door and you're on a long flight and you take a left, the cello has to be up there in the nice part of the aeroplane as well.
It's turning left, joy.
Oh, it is. I never want to go right again.
I haven't turned, but that's the problem. I haven't turned left for a bit.
I know.
It's a lovely treat, though, when it happens.
It is.
But that's astonishing. And this is going to sound like a stupid question, but I'm asking it anyway. When you go away, say you go on holiday with family or whatever, does it stay home? Would you worry about it? Because presumably you can't put a value on it, I suspect. So therefore, would you worry about it?
Well,
that anything would happen to it in your
absence? Of course, that's a concern. Mm. But really, just at the back of the mind, because most often I holiday in Donegal on a little island called Crich Island, and most times the cello comes up with me on holiday.
It's in the chauffeur driven limousine beside you.
Siobhan and the children are in the trailer. And where you do the garden and stuff, they go in that in the back and the cello sits in.
Gorgeous idea. I love this. I love the idea of the school shows. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So the event is on over this period of 3-4 days.
Yes, it's the last week of May.
Yes.
21st or whatever that Monday is, towards the end of May. And it's school's performances.
So do you go to different venues, or do you stay in the one venue and come to you?
Exactly, they come to us. We're in the town hall in Galway.
Lovely. Yes.
And I think we do two shows a day, 10 a.m. and noon. And then on the Wednesday, it's a public show at 6 p.m. But it's a wonderful project. I have great co-collaborators.
Yes, you are. You're working with really good people, too.
Those people, so.
But you're a great man. You like a collaboration, as we know. I mean, be it the string quartet, be it Ruth McGinley, that great album that you brought to us, which we loved.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play My Lag in Love, because I love it a bit. But that was a great collaboration, too. But you like that. Is it because it broadens the horizon, or do you just like the idea of working with other people? Because you could do it on your own. Do you know what I mean? You could be like Julian Lloyd Webber or anybody. You could do it. You just take the cello with you.
Yeah, you can do that. But there's something you those with whom you collaborate give you so much. You hear music from a different perspective. You hear a tune maybe you've known for years, and somebody has a slightly different take on it that opens up all sorts of thoughts. Yeah. So, collaboration with other people is a terrific thing, and you're sharing an emotion. With other people, which is a very enriching thing as well. When it you're is, up on a stage or in a studio and you're communicating through this other medium called music, where we don't really use words, you know, if it's instrumental, it's very, very enriching.
Yeah, and other people bring their wealth of experience to join yours, which gives you that great ability. Mm. Are you going to be making any more albums? Because I'm told you're only on 100.
Yeah, it's in and around. I'd say it's well north of 100 at this stage.
Good Lord.
Well, I think the quartet might do some recording.
Oh, very good.
This is our 25th year.
Oh, well then.
So, and we marked that with a concert in Paris a few weeks ago, which was beautiful.
And did you?
Yeah, we were in the Centre Culturel Irlandais.
Fantastic.
And we had the most beautiful evening. Sometimes when everything lines up properly, the venue is beautiful, a Baroque church in the Irish Cultural Centre in Paris. The sound was amazing in the place. We were all in good form. It was an absolutely jam-packed gig and all of that. So when everything aligns, you remember these things. It's so special.
Did you get to spend any time there? Was it just in for the day?
We flew in one day. We had dinner that night. We did the concert the next evening. We had another dinner after the show.
Good man.
Yeah. And then we flew back the next day. So it was a short trip. But Paris is so beautiful.
It's just, and it never stops appealing. Sure, it doesn't.
No.
You could sit and just watch.
Yeah.
We had the good fortune to do it a few weeks ago, just for a couple of days. It's
lovely.
Just, there's something about it.
Yeah.
Very special. You're not inclined to play us another piece, or have you?
I can, surely.
Would you play us something?
Again,
as you know, the cutback's here. We can't afford to bring you back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear something else. In front of me, Neil.
What about if I play a piece by Turlough Carolan, the Irish composer and harper? This is one of his Planxtys.
Yes.
And as you know well, that he was blind. Smallpox got to him when he was about 18, and he spent the rest of his life travelling around the big fancy houses of Ireland, like yours, Marty. And he would be wined and dined in the house, and then when he would leave the house, he would write a piece of music thanking the lady or the man of the house for their hospitality, and it was his way of giving thanks. So this is Planxty Erwin, after I think a Captain John Erwin. I'm not sure who he was or what he did.
But hopefully he was a half decent character. If we're going to acknowledge him this morning, Neil Martin with me, and just another little live piece for us this morning. I'm sorry to spring it on you, but that was lovely, Neil. Thank you. By the way, we're talking about the Song of the Trees, which is 21st to 24th of May in Music for Galway. And, of course, you've got the White Recital Hall
in April,
the Royal Academy of Music.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. I was on the board of Music Network for 9 years, and what a terrific body it is to promote jazz, classical and traditional music around Ireland. And when I was leaving the board last year, I said, sure, we should do a concert for Music Network to celebrate those people who don't get the applause on a stage like the rest of us do when we're out touring.
Yes.
So Paddy Glacken and Maureen Nicoli Ryan Malloy and myself will do this concert. And we're hot on the news because yesterday I was over in Limerick and Ryan Malloy has just been named as T.G. Cathair Gradam Ceoil Composer of the Year.
There you go.
So Murren and Paddy are previous recipients of Gradam, so it's going to be a terrific evening. I'm looking forward to it mightily.
It'll be fantastic. Mightily. And I always look forward to your presence, Neil Martin. Thank you for coming in this
morning. Thank you so much.
You're a gentleman. God bless you. Thanks. Now we check on
RTE
traffic.
Lyric FM Traffic and Travel, sponsored by Citroën. Citroën, for everyone, but like no one.
9:22, Orla, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. So what's the latest roundup on what's going on?
We're
going
to start with Dublin, and St John's Road is very heavy coming from Island Bridge towards the Quays. The North Quays are busy from Wolfe Tone Quay towards O'Connell Bridge, and the Grand Canal is very slow from Harold's Cross Bridge towards Bagot Street. And Irish Rail have suspended services between Pier Station and Grand Canal Dock due to a vehicle striking a bridge. Elsewhere in Limerick, Kilmallock Road is slow in both directions, and in Cork, services are still dealing with debris on the Dunkettle interchange. It's affecting traffic heading towards the M8 northbound. There's also debris in Cork on the N25 eastbound. It's in the left-hand lane at Carrigtwohill. And finally, in Galway, the Old Dublin Road is slow as you head into Galway City between Ballylahan and the Bonsecure Hospital. That's the latest traffic and travel news.
All right, thanks so much. Keep the faith. We shall talk anon. God
I'll
bless.
Chat to you later.
Cheers
bye.
For now. I shall look at we're out now. Thank you. That was arranged by Neil Martin. It just might be an extra 50p in it for him, and I don't want him to lose out. That's my lag and love, and that's well, she's not here today. You see, she was here last time, Ruth McGinley, and that's just beautiful. And I am reliably informed. Where did you say she's playing tonight?
Tomorrow night she's playing at Bangor Courthouse in County Down.
You mentioned Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Isn't that Sakamoto, film soundtracks?
Exactly.
David Bowie?
Exactly, exactly that man. So Ruth has a great graph for his music, and she's performing with another, I think, electronic-based musician tomorrow night in a performance of stuff from his scores.
And again, that's your point. I'm sorry to hold you back. So no, you're heading off. Your private jet awaits. But I know that here we are again. Look at all the coming togethers that is, even that night in Bangor tomorrow night.
Yes.
All the disparate ideas and music.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I think people thrive on collaboration, on new ideas, and just always seeking out a new approach to the runway, or a different approach to
the runway. It also keeps it fresh in your mind, and it gives you an extra way to do what you do.
Uh-huh. It does.
Safe journeys. God bless you.
All right.
I can hear the chauffeur calling now.
No one knows your financial needs better than you. But when you're looking for answers in areas like how to protect your family with life insurance or saving into your pension, it helps to get advice from experts you can rely on.